Our scripture reading today is from the Gospel of Mark, from chapter 4, verses 21 through 34. It will be projected behind me on the screen, or if you want to follow in a pew Bible, you're welcome to do that as well. He said to them, "Do you bring in a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on a stand? For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. If anyone has ears to hear, let them hear. Consider carefully what you hear," he continued. "With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them." He also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground, day and night, whether he sleeps or gets up. The seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces corn, first the stalk, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. As soon as the corn is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come." Again he said, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade." With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them, as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. But when he was alone with his own disciples, he explained everything. This is the living word of the Lord.
Let's pray. Father, we'd like to thank you for gathering us like this. And we've already said it at the outset when we did the call to worship. You are here before we can even come here. And so this morning, you have some truth for us to understand. But, oh Lord, you know that we are very proud people. We are very selfish people. Forgive us. Melt our hearts down, Lord. And as we sung in the worship time just now, fill us up, Lord. Let your Holy Spirit convict us and show to us some truth this morning. So, Lord, our prayers are like Samuel when he heard you call out to him three times. We pray the same prayer of Samuel. Speak, Lord, for your servants hear. We ask these things in Jesus' name. And the people said, Amen. In late October, I went for a medical checkup. I have a confession, and I took all the blood tests. I have a confession to make this morning. For the last 5 years or so before that, I did not do a medical checkup with my family doctor. After all, I was a very busy pastor. And then towards the end of those 5 years, I was in between churches and I was studying at Knox College. Now, I was still jogging every day, but I have another confession to make. I was not careful about my diet. And my blood pressure was and is still moderately high, and I'm on medication for it. The blood tests returned. My family doctor said that I was pre-diabetic and my cholesterol levels were high. She booked me in for a healthy heart program at a cardiology clinic. I did all the tests and he had all the results of the tests before me. And so the heart specialist in his bedside manner came and told me that fateful morning, "Mr. Chu, I have to tell you that unless you do something dramatic about your life, you stand 1 in 4 chances of having a heart attack in the next 5 years. So he recommended that I go on a diet which concentrates on fruits, vegetables, and plant protein. And he also recommended that when I exercise, because I jog every morning on my treadmill, that I do 1 minute intensive slots in between the jogging. So I'll be like, you know, very slow walking, but then just 1 minute of intensive jogging. So since mid-December of last year, I've been on this diet and exercise regime. Now, I did not set out to lose weight when I started this particular experiment, if you like. Because in the past, when I set out to lose weight and weigh myself on the scales every morning, I never lose weight. It becomes very disheartening. So in mid-December, I started out with these two goals: to do that diet and to do the high-intensity minutes as I jogged on the treadmill. And so in early March, I went to see the heart specialist for my second appointment. I was shocked. I think I actually had a heart attack as I received the results, so to speak. Not only did I lose some weight, but my blood sugar and cholesterol levels were down. And so while waiting nervously in my heart specialist office, minding my own business, I turned around and see this poster on my right side. And this is what the poster said. It had a picture of a human heart on it, and this is what the poster said: if you don't use it, you will lose it. If you don't use it, you will lose it. So the picture on the heart specialist's office describes the condition of our human heart physically. If we don't use the heart in a healthy manner, we will lose it. Now, does it only describe the condition of our physical human heart? Can it also describe the condition of our heart before God? When God speaks to us, do we hear it or do we avoid it? What kind of faith do we have? Do we act on our faith when God speaks to us? Or do we do as my heart specialist tells me? If we don't use it, we lose it. And so this is what Jesus meant when he said these words to his followers. And let us read these words together, the words of Jesus in Mark chapter 4. Let us read it together. "Consider carefully what you hear," he continued. "With the measure you use, it will be measured to you and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them." So the incident that started my journey of diet and exercise was this medical checkup I had in late October. And if I could describe that event in front of the heart specialist, it was a very short 5 minute visitation, if you like, with the heart specialist. It was a moment of truth when I discovered from my blood test that I was pre-diabetic. And this is because my mother, she passed away in February 2005 because of diabetic complications. And so I always thought that if I jogged every morning, it would keep me healthy. But I was callous about my diet. And when my family doctor told me that I was pre-diabetic, it started me thinking if I could do anything preventative about my health in my life. So before Jesus talked about use it or lose it, he talked about moments of truth in our lives. And sometimes we are sitting in the heart specialist's office, minding our own business, waiting nervously, and we turn to the right and we see this poster in front of us. If you don't use it, you will lose it. It was a moment of truth for me. And now, Jesus, before he talks about that use it or lose it moment, talks about disclosures in our life. Disclosures from God. So let us read this passage that he talks about disclosures from God. He said to them, "Do you bring in a lamb to put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on its stand? For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out in the open. If anyone has ears to hear, let them hear." So, sometimes God reveals truth in our lives, which might be painful, physically, or emotionally. So how do we respond to these moments of truth? How can we move on from those episodes in our lives? When Eric was 13 years old, Eric became blind. Eric Weihenmayer is blind. Yet on May 25th, 2001, he reached the peak of Mount Everest. Suffering from a degenerative eye disease, he lost his sight when he was 13. But that did not stop him. On a mountain where 90% of climbers never make it to the top and 165 have died since 1953, Eric succeeded. In large measure because he listened well. He listened to the little bell tied at the back of the climber in front of him or above him so he would know what the direction would go. He listened to the voice of his teammates who would shout back at him, "Death fall 2 feet to your right," so he would know what direction not to go. He listened to the sound of his pick jabbing the ice, so he would know whether the ice was safe to cross. So like the disclosures that God gives to us in our lives, in the most unexpected moments, Eric had to accept this reality when he was 13 years old that he lost his eyesight. But he did not let it become a liability for him for pursuing the dream of his life to climb out Mount Everest. He trained up for it. He listened to the little bell above him or in front of him. He listened to the voice of his teammates. He listened to the sound of the peak. He moved from disclosure to use it or lose it. So when I went for my second appointment with the cardiology clinic, I had some idea that I was getting fitter. I had more energy on the treadmill, and I also felt that there was less, for the want of a better expression, excess fat on my body. Although I did not weigh myself because I didn't want to discourage myself of the when I see the needle not moving in the direction that I hope it would go. From that emotionally painful revelation in early November, late October, God was changing me. He was making me healthier. Now, there was pain in it, you know, trying to wake up every morning to do those high-intensity jogging spells. But ultimately, I had to say to God, "Thank you for working in my life, God." And this is what the kingdom of God is like. And Jesus further now goes on to explain the kingdom of God. And we're going to unpack the kingdom of God in the next few minutes. Let us read together what the kingdom of God is. So let us read together what Jesus says. He also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground, night and day, whether he sleeps or get up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces corn, first the stalk, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. As soon as the corn is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come." So when we think of the kingdom of God, okay, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God. We never think of the kingdom of God in botanical terms, do we? Like it's a small, it's a seed that is scattered on the ground. When we read kingdom, we usually read military, right? Military images come to me. Rule, power, control. That's what we understand when we see that expression, kingdom. And Jesus now is saying that the kingdom of God is a seed. Of all metaphors he uses the seed. And now, let me just say, yes, the kingdom of God does talk about God's reign or God's rule in our lives. But the kingdom of God, according to Jesus, and if you read the Gospel of Mark, it becomes very clear. The kingdom of God, according to Jesus, is more than the rule of God in our lives. It is like a seed, if you like, that God puts into our lives. And it is the seed of the gospel. It is the seed of God's good news. And most importantly, it's not our seed. It's God's seed. So, God puts his seed in our lives. And it grows. And as we go through the struggles of life, God discloses many things in our life. And we have an existing faith at that moment. And the question is whether we use it or we lose it. And we resolve to trust God even though things get tough. Even though there are difficult health problems in our lives. And even like Eric, we can't see clearly, if you like, what God is doing. We can only hear him, if you like. We can't see him. And then one day, after all the strife we've been through, like that second appointment that I had in the cardiology clinic, we are surprised that it is no longer a seed. It is a growing plant. The seed has turned into a plant. So like a seed, God grows on us, bit by bit, and to use Eric's metaphor, step by step up the mountain, bit by bit, step by step up the mountain, or daily looking after the plants in the garden, whatever metaphor we want to use, God is changing us to be the people he wants us to be. And the growth is not only corporate, in the sense that the growth involves all of us as the church family. The growth is personal. God is growing you in your life, and God is growing us in our life together. And I have news for you. God wants us to grow from seed to full plant. God is making full plants out of us. And I'm sorry to tell you that we don't really know what that plant looks like. We can only have faith in God at that time. All we can do is have faith in God and use it, not lose it. And look up to God to make the plant out of us. Today is June the 17th. The summer is coming upon us. According to Environment Canada, we're going to be having hot days this summer. And we all know what it is like, don't we, to find a shade under an oak or maple tree in Ontario. So let us now read about a seed that becomes a plant, which is the final parable of Jesus as he's trying to teach us something about God's truth in our lives. Let us read about the mustard seed. Again, he said, what shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on earth. Yet, when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that birds can perch in its shades. Now, there are some Bible scholars who tell us that when we read Kingdom of God in the Gospel of Mark, Kingdom of God, because of the structure of the original language, you can cancel the word kingdom off and you can replace it with one word, God. So when it talks about the kingdom of God in the Gospel of Mark, in some situations it can also mean God, period, God. So sometimes God is like a mustard seed in our lives. If I take out my glasses, I won't be able to see the mustard seed on this lectern because such is the decay or the situation of my eyes. But the mustard seed is there. I just cannot see it without my glasses. It is the same with God. Sometimes we cannot see God, but He is there. God might look small in our lives, and yet He is doing big things in our lives. The mustard seed can grow to become the largest of garden plants. In fact, Matthew and Luke in the parable passages tell us that it becomes a tree. And like in the hot Ontario summer, the mustard seed can give all of us, or the mustard tree, I should say, the mustard tree can give all of us a shade from the noonday heat. And the Gospels also tell us that so solid is this mustard tree that the birds of the air can build their nests in the branches of this mustard tree. God might look small, but He is doing big, big, big things in our lives. And as He does those big, big, big things in our lives, the big God gives us shade from the noonday sun. And like the birds of the air which we hear now, we can build our nests in God. So go build your nests in God. Go to God. Go to that big God, even though He looks small in your life right now. And ask Him to reveal the bigness of Himself to you. We're going to end with this part of a psalm. It's a psalm that was given to my daughter Esther when she got baptized. Sorry, in the previous church. I read this psalm to her when she got baptized in our previous church. We're going to just read two sentences together because it talks about a big, shady, if you like, shade, a God who gives shade, God. So let us read these two sentences from Psalm 121. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. Let us read that again. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. So, Lord, we just like to thank You that You are the God who watches over us. And You are the God who is the shade at our right hand. And the sun will not harm us by day, nor the moon by night. We surrender our hearts to You this morning. We ask this in Jesus' name, and the people said, Amen.